again. I'll be in Psalms 27. We've talked about a bright future. God can provide your needs, that God has your future in his hands, that he can forgive you for all your sin, that he's your reward in everything you're going through, that he's a help, a very present help in time of trouble, many things we've covered. And so we talked about why we Christians should be an optimist, and absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's no big deal if I die. It's not a big deal. I'm going to be with the Lord. We talked Psalms 27. We talked last week about growing old and the blessing. We had a bunch of people come to me and say, "Man, I feel so much better." So that's good. Having a little gray and a little wisdom, and of course, you got to think counterculture. Can it convert our culture? It's not the way it thinks, but that is the way God thinks. And so, if it be found in the way of righteousness, and so good. Who can remember something that they've learned about being optimistic or having a bright future? Something that's made them think, okay, things. I have an okay future. I don't need to be depressed all the time and hopeless about the future. Who has something they remember or can bring up? Something you've been more optimistic about? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and you got to think. Yes, ma'am. Your health. Good? Eternity in heaven. Good. Anybody else? Trey Chain? Yes? Okay. Okay. Good. Good. And? New body. That's an important one. Good. All right. Bright future, this one is a little bit encompassing a lot of things. It's probably our last lesson on the subject, but it's the Lord can take care of you. The Lord can take care of you. And Psalms 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Good, let's pray. We'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the chance to look into your word. Thank you, you are a father who can take care of us. And we pray you to bless as we learn. I pray you'd help us to see your light in this thing and your way in this thing and see the blessings that we have, Father. I pray for a great service now as we study here in Sunday school your word, and I pray that we'd be of the right mindset, Father. As we talked about last Sunday morning, Lord, it starts the mind, and we've got to think like you think. And I pray we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible says some great lines in Psalms 27. Whom shall I fear? whom shall I fear? You don't have anybody to fear anywhere. Once you finally get secure in the Lord and really understand that all things work together and that you're in the hand of God, all things work together for good, you really... There's natural fears. You might be afraid of spiders. You might be, and by the way, whom shall I fear? Not what shall I fear, huh? But whom? It's okay to be afraid of a spider and a snake, whom shall I fear? I understand natural fears. You don't want to, you don't like heights. You don't have to stand into it. I understand all that stuff. But really, you don't need to fear. Live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I am very reckless by nature, even besides that, I've just learned wherever I've been, God's been able to take care of me. I've been in some bad spots and around some bad situations, but you know, I'll be in Haiti at the end of the month. It's a dangerous country. I'm not worried in the slightest about that. Learned some lessons last time I was there about just trusting God. And whom shall I fear? We worry about crime. You know, the criminal ain't going to find me if God didn't want him to find me. It doesn't matter where I live, by the way. My security is not that I live in a safe area. Now, I prefer that. I think it's just wise. I've lived in bad areas. I live 5 minutes from Gary, Indiana, in the early 90s, which when it was the murder capital of America. I delivered at night in Gary, Indiana, and it was pretty precarious there. And I prefer not to live in that kind of area. I lived in Tacoma, and the area wasn't the best area with my family here. I live in a much safer area now. Of course, I say that, and then some guy tries to steal my car. Why a minute? But you know what? I don't have to worry. I'm safe in God's hands. I got angels around about me, and God can give that guy a heart attack before he can touch me if God wants. Hope he does. You don't have to worry about that. Whom shall I fear? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yet many Christians live in fear. Fear about the future, fear about their enemies, fear about how somebody's going to hurt you, fear about being sued. Do you know, it's a crazy thing to talk about, but do you know every church, including our church has counseling insurance? Did you know churches get sued all the time for counseling? Somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I'm really depressed, I need to find out what I need, and you tell them, well, let me tell you what you need, and you witness them and tell them you need a Savior. That'll give you hope, having eternal life. And they go and get more depressed, and they sue the church because you told me he was a sinner. It's every church has to have counseling insurance we live in today. And you never know when some kid, I was watching the kids, they come running around the parking lot today, and I come driving in, and they come running right toward, not even looking, looking behind and running straight towards the front of the shuttle. And I was watching and stopped, and he probably ran right in the front of the shuttle if he wouldn't have turned around a second before. But you can sit there and worry about being sued all day and accidents happening and worry about your kids and stuff. And I think prudence is wise. Don't send your kids out in the middle of nowhere, and don't, you know, send them a stranger, all this stuff. You know, be wise, don't be foolish. You know, buckle your seatbelt and look both ways before you cross the street. But if you're living with a spirit of fear, the Bible says, whom shall I fear? The Lord. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even your powerful enemies can fail, it says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host of thousands of soldiers should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. I thought in 2008, I thought for a little while our economy is going to completely collapse at some point. I'm not a conspiracy guy at all, but I do understand math a little bit. And when you borrow 41 cents in every dollar for about four decades, and it's going to collapse. It has to. And everything they're doing to keep it afloat right now, including keeping interest rates at zero, they have to make all that money up. So interest rates are going to go very high someday, and nobody's going to borrow money and buy money, and it's going to be a disaster. Everything's going to collapse. I know it's going to happen. I thought it was going to happen in 2008. And I went and prepared myself for it, prepared for my family, because I think that's wise. Had the things I needed to do. I have food in my garage all the time. I think that's prudent to do. But I wasn't worried. My family will eat. They have a man in the family, not a boy, like most families have, and we prepared for it. But even without that, we got God who supplied all our needs. So I wasn't worried about it, though I probably knew more about what could have happened. If Greece wouldn't have started collapsing, America's economy would have collapsed in 2008. It would have. But I don't worry about that. Why? Because the Lord can take care of you no matter how powerful your enemy is. When our economy completely collapses, there's going to be a lot more crime. But I don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. But even your powerful enemies can fall. Even the best laid plans of somebody trying to ruin you can fail. You don't need to live with fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We live in a lot of fear. And I can name 1,000 things. It's tax time. Some of you are afraid of the IRS going to catch up to you. Then get it right. But you don't need to live in fear. You don't live in fear because somebody doesn't like you, because somebody's gonna, because you're not gonna get the money you thought you're gonna. You don't need to live in fear. Think of the story in Iraq that I read one time. There was a unit going through Iraq, in the war, and they were had a mission, and they were going ahead, and a sandstorm came, big sandstorm, and I mean literally you couldn't see a thing. They couldn't drive, they couldn't go directions. Everything was totally stopped, and they just parked there. And the sandstorm lasted 3 days. Many Christians in the unit, and they're frustrated because they knew other units in other spots had gone ahead of them, and they were supposed to be at their spot, and they really couldn't go anywhere and do anything. And it was getting into everything, and they couldn't sleep. They couldn't, they're all stuck in their tanks. It was an armored unit, and finally, after three entire days of this sandstorm just blowing and blowing and blowing, it stopped. And they got out of their tanks, and they're like getting everything back together and getting everything in there and getting back to the units. They look out in front of them, and in front of them was an entire minefield. And the storm had blown all the sand off the mines. And they would have all been, there was no way through this. The thing was just littered with mines, but they're all sitting there on top. And they said, well, praise God for the sandstorm. Praise God for the sandstorm. And that's how things can work out. You might think it was a curse that your car had problems that morning, but there might have been a drunk driver swerving in your lane down the road. See, when the Lord's on your side, you don't need to fear. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be frustrated. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen. The Lord can take care of you. Number one, just a few thoughts on this. He can take care of you physically. He can take care of you physically. Keep you from being killed. It might be God's will you're killed. It might be about God's will you are robbed. It might be God's will you died. It might be all those things. It might be all those things might be. But if it's God's will, then it's good, and it's blessed, and there's no problem with it. But you're not gonna. If you are serving the Lord and your life is in His hands, you aren't gonna accidentally get in a car wreck. I've been in 43 of them. I think I have the Guinness Book of World Records for most car wrecks. I get in car wrecks all the time, ordered by God. Pays my bills. Hallelujah. People hit me and I get money from their insurance. But you know what? I'm still walking and talking after all those. My angels are kind of beat up. But God can take care of you. And nothing happens by accidents. The Lord said, my enemy slipped and fell. Guy's coming up to kill me and all of a sudden, plop. Probably fell on his own knife. I'm not worried about it. And you know, it's pretty scary. You hear about break-ins sometimes. You hear about, and Des Moines had some terrible ones. People died or murdered in Des Moines with break-ins. But you know what? He's going to go to the wrong house. He's not going to go to a house. He's not going to get through my door. He's going to get in a car wreck on the way if God didn't want it to happen. You don't need to live in that kind of fear. I don't think that means you shouldn't be safe and lock your doors either. That's tempting God. All those things. So he can take care of you physically with protection. So let's look at Psalms 91. And I thought, what verses should I read out of Psalms 91 as I was looking through the chapter? And I thought, you know what? I can't leave out any verses. So we're going to read this entire chapter. This chapter talks about the safety that God gives. God can take care of you physically. Verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's a raging epidemic. People worry about terrorism, and that's legitimate. There are some wackos out there who would drop a dirty bomb or do chemical thing. I mean, biological weapons. They do all that stuff. I understand that. You know what? God can keep you safe even if they do that. He can keep me from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Hey, can I tell you this? You might think I'm crazy. I grew up very insecure and very emotionally distraught, and I had a lot of phobias. I was afraid of the dark. I was claustrophobic. I was very, very scared of a lot of things. If you know me now, you can't believe that. Because I'm the most reckless, unafraid of everything person in the world. When somebody would grab, nobody could touch me in a swimming pool before. I'd freak out. Now I go to camp and all the kids climb on me and drown me. That's true, isn't it? They all climb me all day. Every time a kid needs a flotation device, there I am, and they just grab me. It is amazing. Maybe I should lose some weight. I won't look like a flotation device. But all the kids, they use me for a flotation device. I spend half my time under the water, and I can't think very clearly for several days afterward. Why are my lips blue? I'm not afraid of that stuff anymore. I lost all that stuff, and I started serving God. I just became so secure, I really realized there really isn't a monster under my bed. And my monster-proof blanket was not needed. I don't know why I thought that if I put my head under the blanket, the monster could not get through it. But it was a very powerful blanket that I had for many years. And how many had a monster-proof blanket? Oh, boy, I'm weird. I guess I'm weird. All right. There's a couple of you who are normal. And you're all thinking, he is crazy. And y'all didn't have a monster-proof blanket? Did you have a stuffed animal that protected you? What did you all do at night? But slept. Okay, well, you normal people, and the Lord. I don't live in a lot of worry, because the Lord can take care of you. He can keep me from the monster in my closet and under my bed and all those things. And I had to sleep my light. I had to sleep my light on. Most of my childhood, And so my kids, it didn't matter if they're scared. I can't afford the light on. And so they're out of luck if they're afraid. But the Lord can take care of you. And it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, the accidental thing, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth the noonday. Thousands shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You're dwelling in God. I'm not talking to every Christian here. Not talking to every Christian. But Christians who are dwelling in God. When I was in Chicago, I was in the gang area, and man, there were so many drive-by shootings. Mayor Daley presented a thing that he was going to make every neighborhood a cul-de-sac so they wouldn't have drive-bys anymore. Dumbest idea in the world, because there's so many drive-by shootings. And the worst thing was in Chicago with these kids, they never had target practice when they shot a gun. The first target practice, shooting at the window of their car, they never hit the person they're shooting at. And the most unsafe person to be was a person standing next to a gang member. And guess what I was doing all the time? Standing next to gang members, witnessing to them. And I'd all of a sudden see the guy next to me flash a gang sign. I'm going, oh, no, Lord, you got to take care of me. Because this guy's never going to get shot. But you know what? I never got shot once. Praise the Lord. I was always safe. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There's your family being safe. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Remember Elijah? It was Elijah. Elijah or Elisha? A servant and the angels round about him. One of those guys. It was Elijah, I believe. Elisha? I don't remember which one it was. I get them mixed up. And so now it's going to bother us, isn't it? the angel, he was standing there and he had a whole army against him. And then he just says, you know what, don't worry. There's more with us than against them. And his servant's eyes were open and there was angels all in the mountain all around him and all around the enemies. And he didn't have to worry about it, because the angels have charge concerning thee. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And verse 12, they shall bear thee in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. See, interesting. You know, you're in a dangerous area and there's snakes and, you know, poisonous snake stuff. You can step on them and God can take care of you if it's not your time. That's safe. Just in every way, God can take care of you. That's why you have snake handlers, Pastor. Those guys are nuts. That is tempting God, picking up a bunch of poisonous snakes, because God can protect you. Yeah, God protects me by not picking them up and having a brain. And that's crazy. And verse 14, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Those who set their love upon God, God wants to deliver them. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God can take care of you physically, and that's good to know. And that's a great security, because there's a lot of crazy people out there. There's a lot of danger out there on the roads and in homes and everywhere else. But you know what? God can take care of you physically. You can be optimistic. You have a bright future because of that. Number two, he can keep your enemies from destroying you. He can keep your enemies from destroying you. Back in Psalms 27, we see this. And you know what? You get enemies in life. whether you want them or not. Now, if you're making enemies, that's a problem. But you know what? If you all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. The Christians in the Bible got enemies because of serving God. And you'll get enemies in this life. And no matter how nice you are, it does not matter. And you ought to go overboard and give them your cloak also. And if they smite you in one cheek, give them the others also. But I just want to tell you, the Bible says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. There are certain people there is no way to get along with. You can do everything, and then you can't get along with them. There's just no way. And those people are vindictive sometimes. Sometimes you're in your own family. A brother and a sister, they're after you. They hate you. Look at Joseph. Didn't do anything wrong, but his brothers tried to kill him and sold him into slavery. And good thing is you don't have to sit there and worry that they can get you. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The one in hope and Hoshen encamp against me. I'm going to be just fine. I think a great story of this in Genesis, and Genesis 29 is a great story of this, and it's Jacob. And Jacob had a relative his wife's relative that was taking care of his wife before, and a family member of his wife, Laban was his name. And long story short, Laban ended up taking advantage of Joseph and trying to rip him off pretty much. And in, if we go to Genesis 29, in verse 20, it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed to him but a few days for the love he had for her. This is a guy, Laban. He says, you know what? This is my daughters, and if you want to marry one of them, that's fine. And he says, serve me 7 years. Now, by the way, we found out Jacob's dad didn't have to do that to get a wife. Can you imagine serving 7 years to get a wife? How many women think you're worth that? Never mind. He had to serve 7 years. Boy, that was a good way to get a bunch of free money out of him and free work out of him, but he did it. And you know what the amazing thing was about it? It didn't become drudgery because God is with him. It says he served 7 years for him, for her. And it says in verse 20, and it seemed to him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Well, he gets her, gets his wife, they get the wedding feast, and then what does Laban do? He swaps sisters and gives him the other sister and said, here's the wrong sister. And so we find out that later, Laban, verse 24, Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpha handmaid. It came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. He wanted Rachel. He wakes up. Boy, they must have bad lighting then. But wakes up and says, wait a minute, you're the wrong woman, the wrong sister. That's not a good way to start off your marriage and make her like you. But he says, you're not the right one. He goes, says, what are you doing? You ripped me off. And he says, oh, in our country, the oldest has to be married first, then you get the younger. Why didn't you tell me that? That's okay. You 7 more years and you get her. So he has to work 14 years to get the girl, the woman he wants. Now, that's an amazing thing. Talk about a guy who's sneaky and weaselly. So he has to work 7 years to get the woman he wants, and then the guy swaps him, he doesn't know it, and he gets the wrong wife. Now he has to work 7 more years to get the wife he wants. This guy is a person who's going to try to destroy his life. You know what the interesting thing is? That 7 years, but seemed like a few days, God protected him. And then the first wife he gets, guess what? She became a huge blessing to him. Matter of fact, when he was buried, he said, bury me with her. Bury me with Leah. And Leah gave him his boys that he wanted. And she became a blessing. Why? Because God protected him, even though the enemy was trying to destroy it for him. See, when you're in the hand of God, you don't have to worry about it because God can take care of you. He was tricked. He was made to stay after this. In chapter 30 and verse 27, Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. In verse 28, and appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. He says, Jacob said, I'm leaving now. I got my wife. I've got my stuff. I'm leaving. And he says, no, stay. God blesses me when you're with me. He says, tell me what you want me to pay you, and I'll do whatever I have to do. I just stay in the area. So Jacob stays. Now he's dealing with a guy who's not honest here. The guy's pretty sneaky. So he tells him his wage, and then we find out that Laban doesn't keep what he's supposed to be doing. if you go to what happens, Laban sets it up so that Laban's going to take advantage of Jacob, but Jacob turns the tables, and God blesses everything that Jacob does. And Laban loses out, and Jacob gets ahead. Chapter 30 and verse 42, it says, "But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. He had great things. Laban was trying to rip him off, but God wasn't allowing it. Chapter 31, verse 5, it says, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. It says, he has tried to rip me off, but God has been with me, and he's not been able to do it. And chapter 31 and verse 42, except that, talking to Laban, he says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou would have sent me away now empty. But God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight." He ends up telling him, "You've changed my wages 10 times, chapter 31 says, and in verse 5. He says, you've changed your wage. Oh, I can't quite pay you. Oh, I can't pay you this. I can't pay you this. You know, by the way, if you haven't caught on yet, there are people out there who will do that. There are people out there who will tell you all kinds of things, rip you off, change what they said to you. They are dishonest people out there. And you can be afraid that you're going to get ripped off unless the hand of God's on you. You say, well, a Christian never get ripped off? Not unless God allows it. Only things that come in our life, all things work together for good. If I get ripped off, it's for God's good. I go to buy a car. I'm praying for wisdom, for God to give me what wisdom, what car. And by the way, praise God. You know, I bought a 1995 car 6 years ago. Still running, no major repairs. 1994 is my other car. Bought that 3 years ago. Still running great. You know, God can guide you to the right things, and God can take care of you. And you know what? It might have been a weaselly, sneaky car salesman who sold it to me. Could have been. He might have thought he ripped me off. But you know what? If God's with you, God can take care of you from being even your people ripping you off and taking advantage of you. He can protect you. He can reveal the thing. He can make it. He says, "I'm going to sell this car. It's a total lemon. I'm ripping this guy off." And that car might give you 200,000 miles. I'm not saying you will automatically know everything. But you know what? God just blessed Jacob's cattle. And Jacob's cattle had a bunch of babies. And they were very healthy. And God is blessed. See, the blessing of God can keep your enemies from destroying you. And the Lord blessed and protected him. Next, we got to hurry. He can take care of you financially. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You can worry about the economy. You can worry about all that stuff. You can worry about your company laying people off, and they might. And the economy might do bad, but my being needs being met is not based on the government and how good a company is doing. It's based on God and heaven, and God never runs out of money. God can make food rain in my yard if he needs to. I don't have to worry about all that stuff. You can be freaked out and worried, and you know what? You might get laid off. But if you're serving the Lord and he's the number one thing in your life and you're seeking God's kingdom first, God's going to provide for you no matter what happens. You don't have to worry. I'm not saying you're going to have a big screen. I'm not saying you're going to have a new car, but you'll have food and raiment. That's all you need. It's hard to get used to as an American thinking that way. Well, does food and raiment come with a big TV and a Wii? Maybe not. But God can provide your needs. And first of all, he'll give you food and raiment. That's what he promises. That's food and clothing and covering a house if you need that, or an apartment, a covering. Let me just say this. God can provide for you financially, but don't spend what he provides. Don't spend what he provides you. A lot of people have been provided for. They just spend it all. I brought food to a person one time and brought them food, took food in their house from our poor little church and a long time ago. And I said, "So what happened? You don't have any food?" Well, he says, "Just having a hard time financially." And I said, "Well, don't you drive for Metro?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Can I ask you, how much you make there?" $28 an hour. I said, "Why am I buying you food?" He said, "Well, my wife has a gambling problem." I said, I said, how does she get there? She doesn't, you said, told me she doesn't drive. She said, I drive her there. I said, I wouldn't. You don't have food for your kids and you're driving your wife to the casino? You need to become a man. What are you doing? Don't go and say, God didn't provide for me. If you've got junk all over your house, you got game stations and videos and this and that and cable TV, and you're spending what God provided. God provided you to spend on other things. You need to spend it on food and your rent. You don't need all that other junk. Your teenagers don't need a cell phone when you can't afford to pay your bills. God can protect me from enemies. I know it. And next, he can take care of you spiritually. He can take care of you spiritually. I'm going to read John 10. Pastor, you don't think a big screen's a necessity. You don't know. John 10, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than... Let me go by a couple of verses. Verse 28, it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. I, my Father, are one. Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, spiritually, people overestimate the devil's power. He can't take away your salvation. He can't take you out of God's love. He can't pluck you out of God's hand. Your bad friends can't make you defeated. You have the God of the universe, and he can spiritually protect you from being destroyed and defeated. You don't have to worry about spiritually not making it. Our whole message this morning will be on that. But you know what? You've got a big God. He can protect you spiritually. You say, Pastor, you don't know the atmosphere I have at home or at work. Boy, I tell you, I know. There's some bad places where we got to, I mean, you became a Christian and everybody else in your house hasn't. Or you go to work and, boy, they speak in all kinds of tongues, but they're not good ones. And I understand that. And it's hard when that stuff's going on at work. But you know what? God can protect you. He can make you strong and victorious wherever you are. And you're in the hand of God. You're safe spiritually. And it says we are more than conquerors to him that loved us, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hey, Christians have a bright future because they have a God who can take care of them. God can protect them. God can help them. God can strengthen them. God can give you the victory. God can bring you strength and victory and hope anywhere where the devil can put you. And so God can take care of you. So don't worry about it. Just be happy and realize, you know what? God can take care of me. I have a bright future. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us not to worry as the world teaches us to worry. Help us not to be stressed out. Help us not to be anxious. Help us not to be depressed. Lord, help us to have hope. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And though all the crazy things of this world might happen, Lord, if we're serving you and putting you first in our life, nothing can get through the filter of God and hurt us, stop us, change us if you don't allow it, Father. Help us not to worry and be stressed because of these things. And thank you for your word that teaches us these things. Help us, Lord, to get the right mindset in these areas. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes